I propose, by the help of the Lord today, to speak on the subject of blasphemy. It's a subject that is, I would say, rarely spoken of in the pulpit. It is a sin that Jesus speaks of in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And there are different ways to blaspheme. But this morning, what I want to, by the help of the Lord, speak about is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, which is categorized in a place by itself as the only unpardonable sin. Jesus said in Matthew 12, we'll turn and read that. If you turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man," or Jesus, "it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So, he's clearly said that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, I think that there has been, over the centuries of time, many people who have been under false accusation that they have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost and are outside of the umbrella of pardon from God. I think one of the commentators says that the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost would only be applicable to the time when Christ was here on earth. I have to take exception with that because I don't think it would be necessary for it to be in the Scripture if it was only to be reckoned with during Christ's physical presence here on this earth. It is something that is of a serious nature, but I want us to understand this morning, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost stands in a category of its own, completely different from any other sin that a man can commit. Jesus very clearly said that all sin, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but not this one. So let's remember that. Any time that you are dealing with accusation, any time that you are dealing with and studying or thinking about the term blasphemy, remember that blasphemy is a word that has a big umbrella. Blasphemy itself, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, stands in a completely different category. All right? So I want to establish that before we go any further. Let's look at Mark chapter 3, where Jesus again addressed this issue. Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. Jesus had been doing miracles here. He had cast out unclean spirits. He had healed the man with the withered hand. He had done miracles. And he had accusations put to him. And they said that he cast out devils. Let's look at verse 22. "The scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." So they had attributed the miracles that Christ was performing in casting out unclean spirits, evil spirits, casting out devils, they had attributed that to Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, saying that Jesus had Beelzebub. By the prince of the devils, he casts out devils. So following that, Jesus gave some comments, and now we pick up in 28 and 29 of this chapter of Mark. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. These words were serious words, folks. These words were serious words that Jesus spoke against the scribes and the Pharisees, telling them that you're treading very dangerously here. You are ascribing to me, who is the Son of God, you are ascribing to me that my ability to cast out devils is because I have in me Beelzebub, and I cast them out by the prince of the devils. And he said, how can a house be divided against itself? It can't stand. So on the heels of that, he speaks these words concerning blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because they said, he has an unclean spirit. Now, they were downgrading and berating the Holy Spirit and attributing work which could only be done by Him, by the Holy Spirit, to the devil. Dangerous, dangerous ground. Dangerous territory on which to tread. To say that the power that cast out those devils was the power of the devil itself. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. All right? So why is there this distinction between blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and all other sins and manner of blasphemy? Why is there this distinction? It's because of this. We have to understand what the nature of the Godhead. We remember that God devised a plan of salvation. He sent His Son into the world to confirm it, to give His life for it, to shed His blood for it. And on the other side of Christ, giving Himself for the sins of the world, after He was ascended to the Father, there was no more sacrifice for sin. But the agent used by God and sent by God, Jesus spoke to the disciples very clearly and said, it is needful that I go away, but I will not leave you without hope. I will send you another Comforter, and He will lead you, guide you, teach you, reveal to you the things of the Father. All right? So the Holy Spirit was sent into the world to execute, to mankind, to execute the plan of salvation. Folks, there's no way for you or me to gain salvation except what the Scripture says. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. How does that take place? It takes place through the Holy Spirit of God. Everything that we know about God, everything that we understand about God, comes through revelation. Revelation comes by God being willing to allow His Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, to your mind, to your presence, and help you to understand who He is and understand what His purpose is for you in life and what He wants, what your will is to be with Him, His will for you. All right? So let's look at the word blaspheme. Webster's 1828 dictionary. One definition says, to speak of the Supreme Being in terms of impious irreverence, to revile or speak reproachfully of God or the Holy Spirit. I pulled another definition from Brother Austin Wilson's question and answer section. Webster defines blasphemy as to speak in an impious or irreverent manner of, to speak ill or to the prejudice of, to use insulting or abusive language. Further, Webster defines blasphemy as evil or profane speaking and irreverence of God, derogating from His power or attributes, the expression of defiant impiety and irreverence against God or things held sacred. Remember, those things, even those spoken against God, and I would say to you folks, it's dangerous to speak irreverently about God. But those sins can be forgiven. They can be forgiven. I've heard people who have been in the most difficult places in their life, maybe not dealing with things so much physically or externally, but internally, where their emotions are stirred, their emotions are out of balance, and they don't understand, don't really know how to process all the things that they're dealing with, where they may make a comment like, "Well, I don't know what to think about this. All of these things, I just feel like I hate God." All right, that's not a safe place to be. But the Word says that can be forgiven. Thank God, folks. It can be forgiven. People have gone through some awful, awful things in life. Job is one where I feel like if Job had said to all of the things that happened to him in his life, "Why? I've done all of these things. Why would a God of heaven allow all these things to come my way? Something I can't understand why He would do these things to me." We can feel that way sometimes. As human beings, we can feel that way. I don't say that's a safe way to feel. But in our passion, in our hurt and frustration, sometimes we feel that way. But that can be forgiven. All those things can be forgiven. Thayer's definition says to slander, detraction, speech injurious to another's good name, impious, reproachful speech, injurious to divine majesty, Strong's vilification. It takes, in my opinion, in my assessment of things, a person who is thoroughly degenerate and thoroughly profane to be able to enter into the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. I'll repeat that. Someone who is thoroughly degenerate. Thoroughly degenerate. Folks, if you're thoroughly degenerate, there is no good thing there. Thoroughly profane, there's no good thing there. Degenerate, low, base, mean, corrupt, fallen from primitive or natural excellence, lost good qualities of the species. Profane, irreverent to anything sacred. A man is profane when he takes the name of God in vain or treats sacred things with abuse and irreverence. Thoroughly degenerate, thoroughly profane. I don't know that I've ever met anyone that I would say was thoroughly degenerate or thoroughly profane. But I will say that because of the Scripture, you know, Jesus' teaching on blasphemy, that it is possible to be that way. So in Hebrews 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Some will say that this is blasphemy. This is not blasphemy. This is saying that if I choose of my own volition to sin, by my own will exercise, I choose to sin, after I understand what the difference is, then my sin is there. My hope of being saved is gone until I am able to repent again. All right? There is no other sacrifice. There's no grace strong enough, deep enough, powerful enough to maintain my salvation when I sin willfully after the flesh. I must go back to the Lord and ask forgiveness again. How do I get there? How do I get to that place where I understand that I need to be saved? Or how do I get forgiven? Let's turn to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Remember, God devised a plan of salvation. Jesus was sent into the world to confirm it. The Holy Spirit was sent by God to execute the plan of salvation to mankind. Acts 2:17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." What this means about last days is, this is the last of God, what God has to offer mankind. He spoke to mankind, Adam, Moses, Noah. He spoke to them face to face. He used faith with Abraham. He started injecting other things. He used the law. The Lord had different dispensations. Then He sent Jesus. And the last days, folks, you and I are living in the last days. It doesn't mean the last calendar days. It means this is the last, that there's no more for God to offer humanity of Himself and His plan of salvation. It's complete through God, Jesus, and His Holy Spirit. So this is where we are. The last. This is the last of it. This is all that God has to give to you and me. And it's all that needs to be given to you and me. It's His plan of salvation. Jesus confirmed that, dying on the cross. And the Holy Spirit now, speaking to mankind, the will and the mind and the heart of God, communicating that to man so that we have the ability to understand who God is and what He wants from us. "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." This is where we are today. We live under the time where God, through His Holy Spirit, reveals Himself to us. This is why Jesus said, all manner of sin can be forgiven except the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the agent by which today God reveals Himself to you and me and helps us to see our condition, to know where we are with Him and what we need to do about it. The Holy Spirit is a drawing agent used by God to convince and convict men of their errors and their sins. The Holy Spirit is the agent of God for revelation of God to man, of His will to man. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit stands alone in a category all by itself and declared to be the only unpardonable sin. And folks, when we speak of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, it needs to be kept in that category and specifically mentioned. It should never be with the catalog of all other sins. It should be separate. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost should always be delineated, separated from all other sins, because it alone is the unpardonable. Blasphemy against God is a sin immediately touching His name and His honor, and that can be forgiven. Folks ascribe some awful things to God, things He has nothing to do with, and it's blasphemy against Him, but that can be forgiven. Words spoken against the Son of Man shall be forgiven, even as it was to those who reviled Him at His death. Many whom repented and found mercy Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, some of the awful things that were said to Him? Do you remember the things that they did to Him before He was put on the cross? Slapped Him. Prophesy! Tell us who it was that slapped you. If that's not blasphemy, folks, against the Son of Man, I don't know what it would be. It's injurious talk. It is making fun of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it's forgivable. When He was hanging on that cross, I believe it was a centurion that after He gave up the ghost, says there was a great earthquake. Things happened, folks. The sky turned dark for a while. And says there was a great earthquake. I believe it was the centurion that said, "Surely or truly, this was the Son of God." Man can be convinced of his error. And when a man can be convinced of his error, he is not guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. For a man to have any idea or any concern about his soul, he is not guilty of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. For a man to ask questions about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, to wonder whether or not he has committed blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, he has not committed blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Because that one who has committed blasphemy against the Holy Ghost has had the complete plan pulled from him and is no longer capable of even understanding those things from God, because he is thoroughly degenerate, thoroughly profane, and he has thoroughly given himself over to the devices of the wicked one. He has no concern, no question. I don't know if anybody in this building today has been accused by the enemy of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But I believe I could safely say that your presence inside of these walls and your willingness to sit and listen to the Word of God going forth is strong indication that you are not guilty of the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. If you have a heart and a mind of interest in the things of God, interest in doing right things concerning God, you're not guilty of the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You may have done some bad things. You may have blasphemed against God. You may have blasphemed against Jesus. But those are forgivable. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. For a person to come down to an altar of prayer and say, "I'm afraid I have committed the unpardonable sin. I'm afraid I have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost." I can safely say to you, you have not. I can safely say to you, you have not, because why would you even be here asking about it? Because if you had, you'd never be here. You'd be completely outside. Completely outside. Since the Holy Spirit is the last remedy for sin and the last means of access to God, to despise and irreverence Him, the Holy Spirit, leaves one without any other source of help, of means of access to God, and consequently doomed. I want to repeat that. Since the Holy Spirit is the last remedy for sin and the last means of access to God, we don't have God in the flesh. We don't have Jesus in the flesh. We have the Holy Spirit. Since that's the last means of access to God, to despise and irreverence Him, the Holy Spirit, leaves one without any other source of help and means of access to God, and consequently doomed. To blaspheme Him inevitably leaves one in total and permanent impenitence, and consequently unforgiven, and therefore eternally condemned. Now this morning, this is not a happy, feel-good type of message. This is not meant for anyone to feel condemned or be guilty of the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But I feel like it's good for us to understand that there are definite distinctions. I feel like it's good for us to understand because I am concerned. Over the years of my ministry and praying with people and counseling with people and talking with people and hearing the questions that come up from time to time, this is one. This is one that will come up from the heart and the mind of an individual whose conscience is working overtime and the enemy has taken advantage of and tried to make them feel that there is no hope for them and they are outside of the umbrella of God's protection and outside of the umbrella of His offer of forgiveness, when I can say to them safely, "You asking me these questions tells me that you are not in that place, in that category." The enemy is cruel. The enemy will do everything he can to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he'll try to do that to you. He'll try to make you think that you are guilty of this sin and cause you to leave and never want to come back, even though you're not guilty of that unpardonable sin. Because he's cruel. He's a liar. There's no truth in him. He will want to cause you to believe that there is no hope for you. And he will fan the flames of that fire and cause you to feel that there is no way for you to ever be forgiven. And you will spend, some people can just spend their life in wondering and concern and misery over this accusation when there's no basis for it whatsoever except the enemy of the soul has accused. So I want this morning for you to be encouraged and understand this. All manner of sin and blasphemy, Jesus' words, it says, shall be forgiven unto men. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you've done, being here in the congregation today, wherever you think you are in this spiritual realm, whether you feel like you're saved or unsaved, I want you to know this. All manner of sin and blasphemy, Jesus said, shall be forgiven unto men. There's only one that stands in a category all its own. And it is all its own. And it is, I would say, folks, it is a rare, absolutely rare thing for a man to be in that situation. Totally, totally, thoroughly profane, thoroughly, thoroughly degenerate. When you say thoroughly profane, thoroughly degenerate, that means everything good is gone. Can we imagine that? Everything good is gone? Can we imagine that for a man to become guilty of the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? That there is no visitation by God to that man because he has ascribed the things of God and God's Holy Spirit to the wicked one? And God has said, serious business, God has a right to do this. God has said, that sin, when I've done everything I can possibly do for mankind, and I have sent my Spirit into this world to communicate my will to you, and I've even talked to you about what your situation is, and I've offered you forgiveness, and I've offered you repentance, and I've offered you salvation, and you're going to turn and look me in the face and say, it's the devil. I have nothing else that I can offer you. I withdraw from you. You're left to your own devices. I shudder to think of those in that place. And again, I say, I think it's a rare situation, a rare circumstance. But I pray, Lord, that this helps maybe clear up some thinking about this term blasphemy and the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Two totally different things. When you say, hear somebody say this word blasphemy, automatically the big red flags go up and the red lights start flashing. And it's not a good thing. But it's not the end. But blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is a different category altogether. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. I trust this will be blessing, instructive, helpful along the way. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Let's pray for each other. God bless each one. Amen.